in the world. Chaos may fill our streets in a few weeks. Violence may fill our streets in a few weeks. But I know one thing, he's coming. But you know, Jesus said these things must be. I'll give you a quick nugget. One of the signs before his first coming was there's a political crisis that filled the land before the first coming. And as those things are, they will be when he comes again. We're seeing as it was, so shall it be, right before our very eyes. No doubt, things are hitting at an all-time high for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. I want to tell you, we got a problem in this country, a sickness running loose. This world is fallen. The reason you're seeing corruption in our government, because it's fallen. And I'll give you a nugget. There's people that sit in our government that are demon-possessed. They are full of the devil, and I'll get there tonight. What you're seeing is the signs, the symptoms of what the real problem is. All this corruption going on in our voter system, it's a symptom of the real problem. The real problem is sin. The real problem is the devil. You know what they're in need of? They're in need of a physician. There may be people in here this morning that need to see a physician. We're going to talk about it's time to see the doctor. Amen? I don't like going to many doctors, but I like going to this doctor when I have a need. Amen? But listen to what Jesus said right here. Here's the greatest physician. Let me just give you this. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. I want you to know this morning that you go into a doctor in town or the hospital, they'll say license to practice. But Jesus never practiced. He always had the cure. Amen? Amen? They're trying to figure out people's problems. The answer is Jesus today. Amen? Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for they were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he that eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Listen to this. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we honor you today, Lord. We lift you up, dear God, today, Lord, and we praise you, dear God. Lord, and we exalt you, dear God, today, and I ask for your anointing to be upon me as I bring forth your word. I ask, Lord, for you to just touch me, dear God, today, Lord. God, today I ask, God, for your hand to move, Lord, upon lives and hearts today, Lord. Father, we give you glory, dear God, and we give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Living in a fallen world, there's one thing that is certain. Sickness will run rampant in the world. You can see it through in the New Testament, how sickness, Jesus encountered those that are sick. Some sickness can be minor, such as a cold or a little headache or an allergy. On the other case, sometimes they are sicknesses that can be severe in life, such as cancer, COVID-19, and other things that are going on. The reality is today they are physical ailments that affect mankind. Most of us in here have some type of physical ailment, whether it would be high blood pressure, whether it be sugar diabetes, or if you like me, I go on like it when I don't. Even with me, sometimes I can flare up with gout. The reality is, because the older I get, the more this body is decaying, the more it catches things, if you will. But the world is full of these things, that physical ailments that will affect mankind. But sometimes, and when you get those sicknesses that come your way, there comes times where you've got to go to see the physician. When that ailment gets bad, when that ailment gets severe, you've got to go see the doctor, if you will. But as bad as physical sickness is, there's something far worse than having a physical sickness. Now, I dare to say the greatest disease of them all, the greatest sickness of all, is that of sin. And that is far greater than anything physical, if you will. I've always said the physical sickness may take me out of this body, but it cannot separate me from God. Did you hear me today? Cancer may affect somebody's body, but it cannot separate one from God, who is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. COVID-19 may take hold of somebody's body, but COVID-19 cannot separate somebody who is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. It cannot separate them from Jesus today. But sin can separate somebody from the Lord. Sin can destroy the fellowship that one has with God today. You see, even we begin to see the effects of sin. And all the physical ailments come back from the sickness that we have come from sin. It may not be the root cause of an individual sin, but all the ailments that we have in our land today, in our world, is a result of the fall that happened in the Garden of Eden. You see, sin will affect you physically, and it will affect you spiritually. And if it is left untreated, it will kill one as well. You see, today they are those that need to see the doctor. They are those that are in need of a cure. And that cure is only through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the reason that Jesus came into the world, to destroy the devil's work, to bring forth the end of the devil's work. Listen, this morning, one thing I begin to see when I've studied this message is how sin will erode someone's life and destroy the life of many people. Think about it. Sin's effects can be traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden and the book of Genesis. You see, right after that fall, it's not long till you begin to see the brother kill another brother. It was Cain who killed Abel. And by the way, let me tell you, it happened with a rock and not with a gun or a knife or anything. You see, it was the evil intention right there. You can go on and in the book of Genesis after the fall and begin to see how sin eroded the society. You see how sin affected even in Noah's day. You begin to see how sin had grabbed the hold of Sodom and Gomorrah, if you will. You see how perverted and bad it got in those days. Even in these days that we are living, You can look at someone and see the effects of sin. I've seen 20-year-old people look like they are 60-year-old because of drugs that have took place inside of their life. They've added years to their life, if you will. They've cut their life short, if you will, because of sin, if you will. Sin destroys. Sin erodes. Sin is the problem. America is facing today. Some of you are saying, what's going on? It's a three-letter word. It's S-I-N in the United States of America. Hello? You see it today. You see what's happening right here. People are bound by sin. You see, you can see sin is the cause of death. It was by one man's sin that death entered into the world. You see, it is the root cause. It's being felt today. And as the world goes deeper into sin, you will begin to see the effects of sin. The effects will become stronger and stronger. It will be felt in greater detail. As people run away from God's word, as they run away from Jesus, and they go into sin, let me tell you, the thing that will happen in this country surprises me. In fact, you see the wickedness of man, and it's not going to be long. There's going to be things that blow your mind away. All because of sin. Does it surprise me that we got crooked politicians that try to steal an election? No, it don't. In fact, they even told us they were going to, if you go back and look at it a little bit. Amen? They even said this is what they were going to try to do. I told somebody, and this is just a Jimmy thought right here. I said, if you go back and you'll look closely, and if the truth be revealed, you would probably find out there were some that were working with the Chinese to develop COVID-19, because COVID-19 come from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. Amen. I said, if you would get in detail, you would probably find out this was the plan all along, where they could have mail-in ballots and to steal an election. You see, the more I begin to think about it, the more I begin to believe it. I can't prove it. But it wouldn't surprise me, because if people don't mind aborting a baby, they don't mind releasing a virus that will kill you today. Hello? You see, sin is what's going on right here. You see, sin has destroyed the lives of many people. Let me tell you, families are broken up because of adultery. Families are broken up. Marriage is destroyed. Look at the lives that have been destroyed by alcoholism. Look at the lives that have been destroyed by drugs. Look at lives being took innocently because of drugs inside of their life. Young people being buried because they overdosed. This is sin in our world today. The lives of many are being destroyed around us. And we call it freedom. Let me tell you something, sin is not freedom. Sin is bondage today. Amen. Let me do as I want to do. It's called bondage today. Sin is not freedom. Sin is bondage. Sin is chains. Sin is shackles. But people say, it's my life, I'll do what I want. We want to be able to abort our baby. They want to be able to have same-sex marriages. They want to do this and they want to do that. California, some of them are pushing for pedophilia now. Sin, it's bondage, folks. It's bondage. It may be enticing, but sin is bondage. Think about bondage for a minute. Listen, alcohol is bondage. I don't believe in social drinking. That wine in the Bible that Jesus had was grape juice, and I can prove it without a shadow of a doubt. Because let me tell you, Jesus don't give you something that will create a bondage in your life. Jesus don't give you something that's going to destroy your life. Hello? Jesus don't give you something that's going to put you bound by the devil this morning. Hello? But you begin to see how bondage has taken a hold of many today. Many are dying because of bondage. Life's took me prematurely because of sin. What does the Bible say in Romans 6 and 23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's a wage to sin. America needs to understand, and I'll say this, that if we vote, if they put somebody in office that supports abortion and things, the blood is on their hands. I'll go ahead and say this. If any Christian voted for them that had supported abortion, you need to look at your hands, because there's blood flowing from them. Oh, yeah. Romans 1 and 32 will take that out. Listen today. People, they're bound by sin. The effects of sin are being felt. The Bible tells us in James 1 and 15, then when lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, lust conceived bringeth sin. It produces sin. Sin births death. You begin to see that. It will produce physical death. It will produce spiritual and eternal death. And but people treat it, sin, like it is a joke. People act like there is no consequences. Well, let me tell you this morning that if sin is not dealt with in someone's life, if sin is not goes untreated, they will be consequences. And they will be consequences in this world and the world to come. The reality of this morning is that we are living in a sin-sick world. Why do you think they are fighting to order to have abortions? Let me give you a nugget this morning. I'll go ahead and tell you the reason this is a mess right now is deeper than one man versus another man. I believe when it comes down to it, that it has got to deal with abortion somehow. I believe it's got to deal with abortion somehow. Because the world fights to kill the unborn. They want to destroy their children. My Lord, even animals don't rip out their babies from their own womb. But humans do. Sin is destructive. It cost Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden. They were driven from the Garden of Eden because of sin, because of rebellion. We can look throughout the Bible and see the consequences that many felt. But the reality is this morning, the world needs to see the doctor. The reality is this morning, there are many that are in need of an examination. There are many that are in need of a treatment this morning. You've heard it said, people say, well, they need Jesus. Well, the reality is the world does need Jesus. We've got people in our society that need Jesus this morning. We got people that are bound up that need Jesus this morning. You see, the Bible says the sick need a physician. The sick need a physician. It's the sin sick who need to get to Jesus this morning. It's those who are bound up. who are lost that need to get to Jesus this morning. It was Jesus who said, the sick are in need of a physician. What many are in need of today is a heart transplant. And I begin to think about, instead of running these people down, we need to give them Jesus this morning. We need to pray for them this morning. Instead of beating them up, we need to talk to them about Jesus this morning. We need to pray for our leaders in our land today. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks. My gut feeling tells me that Trump, somehow God's going to turn this thing around and Trump will be president. That's what I believe. But I also know that it's possible that Biden be president. Let me tell you, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for him and Harris. Here's how I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray either God save them or God remove them from office. Stop their plans. Hey, man, we complaining about them ain't going to do a bit of good. I've already got on Twitter, and I've already started to our governor here in Pennsylvania and to the mayor of Philadelphia and to the attorney general of Pennsylvania. I sent them about 6 or 7 tweets apiece yesterday. Tell them they need to repent. God's already seen their sin. They need to confess it. We all see it too. Didn't get no response, but I'm going to keep hammering it down to them. Ain't that what John the Baptist did with Herod? Didn't he go around preaching repentance? Let me tell you what you need to do to these crooked politicians when you see them. You need to holler out, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Maybe they'll see it. Maybe it'll convict them. But I want them to know that we ain't blind to their little shenanigans. I'm not anyway. You know what? That's what you do. One verse in the Bible says, pray God remove the ungodly from office. Hello, but my gut feeling says God's going to turn this around. I just feel that he'll be president in 4 years. And I heard a pastor in Africa make this comment. October the 4th was when it was recorded. He said Trump would win presidency for the second term. He said the American people wouldn't vote for him, but he would still remain president. That's something to think about right there. Somebody in Africa that said that. I know what he is talking about. It would seem like the vote didn't go his way, but Trump would remain president. We will see, as long with these other prophets that's been declaring that. But my gut feeling says somehow God's going to turn this thing around. But like I told somebody, but if he don't, we're that much closer to the coming of the Lord. So I'm just going to go on preaching Jesus. But I'm telling you, we need to be preaching repentance. We need to be preaching that Jesus is coming. You see, just like John the Baptist, before the first coming of the Lord, was a forerunner. He said, he preached repentance. And I remember a few weeks ago when I was over in this church praying, I said, Lord, give me a word for next year, if you tarry. What come in my spirit was simply this: prepare for the coming of the Lord. I'm not saying he's coming next year, but we better be preparing for it. Amen? The church better be preparing for the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you, we need to be preaching repentance today. You got things in your life that don't need to be there. You need to get it under the blood today. Listen, you're living in sin today. You need to give it under the blood today. We're a nation that needs to get some things under the blood of Jesus Christ today. Amen? You got the wrong attitude. You need to get it under the blood of Jesus Christ today. You're full of jealousy and envy and hate and strife. You need to get it under the blood of Jesus today. You see, what this world is in need of is a heart transplant. And only a heart doctor can give you a heart transplant. And I'm not, the heart doctor I'm talking about is not some cardiologist in Harrisburg. The heart doctor I'm talking about is the great physician, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I Am. My gosh, help us this morning. People are in need of a heart transplant. People are in need of Jesus this morning. What you see today with the kicking and screaming is nothing more than symptoms of the problem. Amen. The real problem is sin. These are just symptoms. But as we go back, we begin to see Jesus. Go to Matthew. Ain't the calling of Matthew. Tell you about Matthew. He was a tax collector. Patty ain't up here yet. I aggravate her because she's the tax collector. I always aggravate her what they used to think about tax collectors. But in reality, in that time, tax collectors were crooked in that time. Matthew was a tax collector. In that day, they were dishonest. And they hated the Jewish Talmud, described them as robbers, if you will. Even in that day, some of those tax collectors would align with a mob. And they would, what we would call an organized crime syndicate today. They would use these enforcers to get people to pay up, if you will. Ain't much different, really. I'll just tell you, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to lose your house. I tell people, you really don't own anything to begin with, because if you don't pay the taxes, you're going to lose it. But they would send people to make people pay up. Now you begin to see why people didn't like publicans in this time. Because if they didn't pay their taxes, they were going to send like an enforcer to make them pay up. Or they would literally take it, if you will. But Jesus was coming to this one right here. Now here's the problem with many that day. You see how hated they was. But then they seen something that they didn't like. Some of these Pharisees did. Jesus was sitting down with the same ones that was the people's enemy, if you will. Jesus was there having dinner with the despised Pharisees, the tax collectors, if you will. My Lord, this didn't sit well with the religious folks. Hello. They didn't like this. And it reminds me of a lot of people's attitude today. Amen. They don't like it, if you will. But I got news for you today. These Pharisees, they run their mouth about Jesus. They probably said, we don't understand. Why in the world are you sitting down with these bunch of thieves? Why in the world are you sitting down with these people? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm going to make a statement right here. And you hear me. I want Trump in there. That's not my statement. But I don't want it took out of context what I'm about ready to say. I want you to know that Jesus came to save Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as well. I want you to know that Jesus came to save Tom Wolf as well. Amen. 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 If they don't repent, that's between them. They'll have to answer to him before God. If they get saved, they'll confess their sins. Amen. Listen, what I'm telling you is these publicans, these Pharisees, they run their mouth because Jesus was sitting with these ones they didn't like. These robbers that took their money. They said, what in the world is he sitting with them for? Hello? He came to save the lost. He came to save the worst of the worst. Listen, too often we look our nose down on the worst of the worst. They need Jesus as well this morning. You see, Jesus come to set that tax collector free this morning. Jesus come to give Matthew a change of heart this morning. And many others as well. You see, that Jesus didn't come just to sit down with him. He didn't come to have a dinner with them, really. He went there to sit with them for a purpose. What was that purpose? To give him a heart transplant. To change his life, if you will. He came to give him an operation. A new heart. A new life. A new outlook. He came to make him a new creation. In verse 15, we are told many followed him that day. For they were many and they followed him. You see, just like Matthew, men and women are no different today. They are spiritually sick. Hello? Hello, they need a physician. People are spiritually sick this morning. Listen, the Pharisees did not care about Matthew's condition, but Jesus did. Hello. The Pharisees didn't care about the condition of those that was in that house eating dinner with them, but Jesus did. See, I think we need to get the attitude of Jesus a little bit. I think we need to start seeing things the way Jesus sees it a little bit. You know what Jesus come? He came for those that would respond to his message. They were religious, but the Pharisees were hypocrites. Jesus said, your hearts, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Let me tell you what I've discovered a long time ago. Some of the hardest people are the self-righteous. To hear the message. Do you know the majority of the religious people rejected Jesus? But it was the harlots. It was the tax collectors that received Jesus. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus spoke these words of Hosea to the Pharisees. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want you to know the day that Jesus has come to make people whole. I want you to know this morning that Jesus' desire to make people whole. Contrary to what the world thinks, that many Christians think, God's not up there ready to strike somebody down. I know judgment's coming, but I also know this, that Lord, the Lord is merciful. He's willing that he's not slack concerning his promise. But he's showing mercy. He's willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. Even the Pharisees could not get that. The self-righteous could not get that. That Jesus had come for the tax collector. And those that followed him. Sorry, Pat. I got to get her. I'll aggravate her. But listen, I want you to know this morning, I prepared this message about 3 weeks ago. Little did I know that it would be prophetic about this time. I want you to know that Jesus come again. Jesus come to save Joe Biden. He come to save Kamala Harris. Now, if they don't respond, that's in their own doing. But he's calling. Amen? He's come to save those that don't know the Lord in this area. But they got to heed that call. He's not up there ready to strike people down right now. Judgment is coming. But God's showing mercy right now. I don't know how long it's going to be till it comes. And I know we're heading that way if repentance don't come. But I could tell you once again, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, the Pharisees, all they saw that day was a robber. They saw somebody that stole their money. So they didn't care for him. But what did Jesus see? What did Jesus saw? He saw a man that needed him. I ask you this morning. I ask the church this morning. What are you seeing in those who are lost this morning? What are you seeing in those that are bound up this morning? Are you seeing somebody that's just bound up? Are you seeing just a drug addict? Are you seeing somebody that needs Jesus? Are you seeing just an alcoholic? Are you seeing somebody that needs Jesus? See, Jesus looks at it a little different from you and I. The Pharisees saw it one way, but Jesus saw another condition. He saw the deeper meaning. Church, we need to get like it. This world needs to see Jesus this morning. And I want you to know today that God is calling people that others have written off. Others that they said there wasn't no hope for. Jesus come to save them this morning. Jesus has come to save your enemies this morning. Let me tell you about an enemy of the church. A great persecutor, a man by the name Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. How many know he persecuted the church? How many know he consented to the death of Biddy and he was on his way to Damascus to get more? But what happened on the Damascus road? Who appeared before him? Jesus of Nazareth. Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me? We know the story. That day forward, the one who persecuted the church would become the greatest ally of the church. But how many know they were people that prayed for him? I believe Stephen's prayer, Saul had to consent to the death of Stephen. And when Stephen was being stoned to death, he said, forgive him. They no charge to him. I believe that had an effect on old Saul, but anyway. Many didn't see that coming, but Jesus did. See, we can only see a little while, but Jesus saw what was coming down the Damascus Road. Amen? Jesus already saw what was going to happen down the Damascus Road. See, I want you to know this morning that Jesus has come to save your enemies. There's a lot of enemies to the church, but what if Jesus saves some of them? They could become the greatest friend to the church. You see, I want you to know God wants you to love those who have harmed you, who have persecuted you. He wants you to love those that society has written off, just like Jesus did with Matthew. But the self-righteous couldn't get it. See, I remind you that if he can call you and me, he can call anyone. Amen? If he can call me, he can call anyone. Hello? I get agitated. People thinking God can't use. You better watch out who God, you ain't God. He can call who he wants to call. Amen? He can call me, he can call you. He called you, he can call anybody. You see, I want you to know today that Jesus made Matthew whole. He made those in that household whole this morning. You see, what made the difference right there in somebody who was in a crime syndicate, if you will, who robbed people, was Jesus of Nazareth. Because in that time, that's exactly what they were. They were robbers. They would, whatever they could get over a certain percentage, that was for them. But Jesus made this man whole, if you will. How many in here this morning would say, Jesus has made me whole. Jesus has made me whole this morning. Jesus has made me whole this morning. Listen, Jazz, you can go ahead and get Marcy. Let me tell you, Matthew was willing to leave his job for Jesus. How many are willing to leave their life for Jesus? How many are willing to leave their job for Jesus this morning? Hey, man, Matthew, he was getting, I imagine he was making some good money. If you could knock it up to whatever you could get, I guarantee you he was making some good money. But he left that all because Jesus got a hold of him this morning. That was me that made that. That was my stand I used for to record the videos last week. But I'm telling you, that shows you the difference that Jesus made in his life. And I want you to know today that Jesus can make a difference in your life. Matthew's life was different because of Jesus. Those who sat with Jesus in verse 15, their life was different because of Jesus. What happened is what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. A man would be born again. You see, when a man is born again, his life is different. There's a difference between being religious and being born again. Religion won't save you, but being born again gets your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, you see the difference Jesus made, that when Jesus gets a hold of somebody, their life is totally different. They see with a proper perspective. They think right. They view things as God views them. Their life is changed. See, how many remember the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda? How many remember that story? For 38 years, he laid at that pool waiting for somebody. We preach that on divine healing, but I want you to know there's a deeper meaning to that. It's John 14. Let me read verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie in you, that he had been a long time in that case, he said unto him, will you be made whole? I want you to know there's something deeper than what we many times miss it. Many times we just see the physical healing. But this man, when you dig into this, represented humanity. Represented all of humanity. It's interesting. This man couldn't go to God, but God had to come to him. Jesus come to him like he does to all of us? Why couldn't he go? Because of his sinfulness. Therefore, Jesus came to him. He knew he had been in that condition for a long time. But that condition, that physical condition, represents the spiritual condition of humanity. We're bound by sin. Without Jesus intervening, that man would have laid in that spiritual condition, in spiritual hopelessness, and that condition would be terminal. Then Jesus asked him, "Will thou be made whole?" This man says yes to Jesus. This is the call of Jesus to the world. See, that call was deeper than just for physical healing. It had to deal with spiritual healing. The man couldn't go on his own. Jesus come to him. How many know Jesus come to us? Give you another point. How many know the man bound by the legion of demons, who he didn't come to Jesus, but Jesus went to him? You could say Jesus walked where no man dared to walk. Jesus asked him the question, "Will you be made whole?" See, he asks that question to the world today. And the world must respond with a yes or a no. This man said yes, and his life was forever changed. But how many are saying no? You say yes to Jesus, your life is going to be changed. See, mankind's condition from this world is fallen. Yes, there's an age of accountability, but even a baby, they're born in sin, even though God don't hold them responsible. Even certain conditions in certain people, when they don't know right from wrong, God don't hold them responsible because they cannot comprehend right and wrong. But that don't change the fact, born in sin. Hello? Mankind's condition is sinfulness. Why do you think Jesus said a man must be born again? You can stand in here today, but I want you to know Jesus done for this man what no other man could do. And I want you to know today that Jesus can do for you today. He can set that vile sinner free today. Jesus can turn drug addicts into preachers. He can turn prostitutes into Sunday school teachers. He can turn alcoholics into an evangelist. You see, Jesus could take that one that's full of hate and rage and turn them into love. Make them be the most loving people that they are. No doubt Jesus is the great physician. See, this morning I challenge you, church, to see the way Jesus saw and understand that people need a physician. They need help that only Jesus can give. But I'm going to give this altar call like this first and foremost this morning. I never want to leave an altar call like this because I don't know people's conditions. But how many would say, "I need to see a doctor in my own life. I need to see Jesus this morning. I got some issues in my life that need to be worked out. I want you to respond this morning." Is there one in here that says, "I got some issues in my own life that I need Jesus to get out"? It's between you and God. Maybe you say, "I know some people that need Jesus. I'm going to get them to Jesus." And finally, I want to tell you, you need to pray for this nation, because this country needs Jesus. And it ain't on one side of the fence, it's on both sides of it. They need Jesus this morning. These altars are open. Because Jesus is the only one going to cure this nation. Jesus is the only one going to heal the hurt. Take care of the hate and rage that fills this country. Give it to Jesus this morning. In the name of Jesus. Lord, this country needs a healer. It needs the balm of Gilead. Give it to the Lord this morning. God, I ask you, Lord, to heal this land. Heal hurts today. Father, we honor you this morning. We praise you this morning. We lift you up. We exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.